Welcome you this morning to Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name as you listen in or are in the service this morning. We're joined together in the words of the Psalm 63, verses 1 to 8 on the screen or in your hymn book. Lord, thee, my God, I early seek, my soul to thirst for thee. My flesh longs in a dry, parched land wherein no waters be. Page 56. Verses 1 to 8 of Psalm 63. We'll stand after the introduction to sing together, please. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we come into thy holy presence this morning in the precious and worthy and adorable name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And our gracious God and Father, we pray for thy presence with us this morning. We thank you for those who have been able to come to the house of God, for others who are unable but to listen in this morning. We pray that thou wilt be with them and that thou wilt bless them. Maybe some who are unable to listen in, but Lord, thou dost know their circumstances. We commend them to thee and we pray for thy blessing upon all such. Many who are faithful in their attendance at the means of grace, but now through age, through illness and other infirmities, they cannot come. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with them and that thou wilt encourage them and that thou wilt strengthen them, even in the midst of weakness. We pray this morning, our God and Father, that thou wilt open our ears to thy word. We live in a dark day, a difficult time, a most challenging time for individuals and for families, for young people, for middle-aged people, and for older people, for all ages and circumstances of life. We live in a world that is hostile to the gospel, to the word of God and to the teaching of Scripture. But we pray this morning, our God, that thou wilt give us courage as thy people to stand in an evil day, to not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We pray this morning, our God, for fruit amongst those who are not saved,
And some who have sat and listened to us over these years, and others who, God, still unsaved out of Christ, and even this morning as they hear thy word, they may come to Christ and be saved by the matchless grace of God. We thank you for hearing of souls saved in the mission there in Utnards. We rejoice, O God, that thou art still saving souls, that thou art still building thy church across this little land and across the world. Remember, O God, tonight in the gospel, remember our brother Darren. We thank thee, Lord, for one in his particular and special circumstances who can relate his testimony to the grace of God. And we pray that thou wilt bless him and his hand tonight as his testimony is related to us. And grant, O God, that thou wilt use the ministry and song from thy servant too. And bless, O God, that ministry from Natasha tonight. And grant that it may be used as well for thy glory. We pray that thou wilt bless us in thy word. Give us help, we pray. Give us souls. Bless the outreach of the church. Remember the ongoing Sunday school, and remember the drive-in services that are planned in the summer too, and the Holiday Bible Club the first week of July. Remember all the plans for that, and thy servant who will come and speak, and thy servants who will, Lord, plan it and work with it, and helpers who will come along. We pray that thou wilt give grace and help, that boys and girls in our communities will be reached, and that souls will be saved for thy glory. Remember our gracious majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, as she celebrates this momentous time in her reign. We pray that thou wilt bless her this week and in these days that follow. Give her wisdom, we pray, and grant that our gracious majesty, her heart and her trust will be fully in Christ, and grant that that will be so for the royal household. And we pray that our nation, even through these times, will be turned back to God. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We'll turn in our hymn books to the second hymn, Stand Up and Bless the Lord. Ye people of his choice, stand up and bless the Lord your God with heart and soul and voice. We'll stand, if you're able, to sing this great hymn this morning. Stand up and bless the Lord after the introduction, please.
Stand up and bless the Lord.
Well, boys and girls, we're thinking about a Bible story this morning from the book of Nehemiah. And of course, Nehemiah was a very important man in the Old Testament. You'll read, in fact, the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was known especially for building the walls of Jerusalem. Building the walls of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah, of course, was a very special man in the palace at Shushan, and he was here, and he was the cupbearer to Artaxerxes, the king there in that particular palace. And so this man, Nehemiah, was an important man. He was part of the captivity of the people of God who were left in that land. And of course, many of them had returned at this particular time, and they had returned to seek to build the walls of Jerusalem again. But this was a time when Nehemiah remained. And oftentimes in Scripture, God's people, God's servants were found in a particular place for a particular reason. You think of Daniel, whom we looked at before, and he ruled in the court of Darius in his particular time. And here's this man in the midst of the court of the king Artaxerxes. And then, of course, one day Nehemiah was visited by a man called Hanani, one of his brothers who lived in Jerusalem. And this man was asked by Nehemiah about the state of the city of Jerusalem, about the people of God who were living there. And of course, it wasn't a good report, because Hanani explained to Nehemiah that the walls were broken down and the gates were burned with fire. And so it was a very difficult situation that he was reporting on about Jerusalem. They had no protection. The Jews in that particular land had no protection in Jerusalem. They were in great trouble and disgrace. Nehemiah heard these things. What was his reaction, boys and girls? The Bible tells us he sat down and he wept. He sat down and he wept. And for several days, Nehemiah mourned. The Bible tells us he was in great sorrow because he saw the state of the people of God at Jerusalem. And he asked God for opportunity to speak to the king concerning the state of the people. He fasted and he prayed. He confessed his sin and the sins of the people. And he asked God that he might be able to speak to this king Artaxerxes. And so sometime later, while serving in the court of the king, discover as he was the king's cupbearer, as we've said, he was asked by the king, "Why are you so sad looking?" You may say that to someone. "Why do you look so sad?" Well, that's what was said to Nehemiah by Artaxerxes the king. And of course, it gave the man of God, Nehemiah, the opportunity to speak to the king. "How could I not be sad?" Words to that effect. "When Jerusalem lies waste, the gates have been burned with fire." And so the opportunity to speak to the king concerning the plight of God's people in Jerusalem, concerning Jerusalem itself. And you see, boys and girls, God has his people everywhere. In different situations of life, God has his people. And God had his servant here in this situation to speak to the king concerning his people. And God has you in your situation, in your school, or where you are among your friends. God has you to be a witness and to speak about God's people and about God to others who know not the Savior. And maybe you don't know the Lord that Nehemiah knew, that Nehemiah was able to pray to. Well, this morning you can come to know him as your Savior. And I pray you will.
even before you leave our service this morning. We're going to join in the singing of a chorus. It's well known to all of us, away far beyond Jordan. We'll sing this chorus together now, just keeping our seats. We'll sing it through twice and do the actions as we sing it. Welcome you along to our service this morning, if you're visiting, or if you're joining in, listening in to the service. Trust the Lord will bless our coming together for worship today. You remember the baskets at the door for your offerings. Today there's a separate basket for the work of the Whitfield College of the Bible. Do remember that work and the building of the new college and planning permission to take place for that to go ahead soon. Do remember that, and remember our students as they come, some to the end of their studies, a couple coming to the end, and others, if they're accepted, will be joining in September. So remember, please, the work of our college today in that special offering at both services. The time of prayer prior to the evening service at 6:30, a family and friends night, a testimony from Darren Bailey, Port of Ogie, a wonderful story of God's grace, and of course, with his special situation, his aunt will be relating his testimony to us. Darren will be here, and we trust that you will remember the service tonight. Invite others to come and to hear this wonderful story, in many ways unique, how it will be presented. And we trust the Lord will bless us tonight, and Natasha, she will minister in song to us again this evening. And then Tuesday at 8 p.m., the meeting for Bible study and prayer. And I will be along to lead the prayer meeting and to take the Bible study. Special prayer for a holiday Bible club, which is coming up in the first week of July, beginning the first Monday of July. And do remember that, please, in your prayers. Remember Mark and Joanna as they prepare for that, and our brother Robert McConnell as he comes to speak. And do pray for that especially. And other matters, of course, for prayer on Tuesday evening. And then next Lord's Day, June the 5th, the Sunday school at 10, morning prayer meeting at 11, family worship at 11:30, the gospel service at 7. And as we come to the Platinum Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth II, we will be speaking along those lines, especially next Lord's Day. There are four gospel verses that were read to Queen Elizabeth at her coronation. And we're going to be speaking on those four gospel verses next Lord's Day. It's interesting, and I'm sure you heard from Dr. Johnson something about all of that. He's a mine of information about all of those things. But it's important to know the gospel is at the center of the coronation and even what was sent to Queen Elizabeth on that occasion. So remember next Lord's Day, Brother David Warwick. We're always delighted to have David with us. He will be back with us next Sunday night. He's getting married soon, I believe, but he'll be here before he gets married. And he will be with us next Lord's Day evening, God willing, to sing in the gospel as well. Do remember these services and pray for God's blessing upon his word. The building fund will be at both services next Lord's Day as well. We appreciate your giving.
And through gift aid, we've received more back into our funds, and we're thankful for people that use gift aid who are taxpayers, and it benefits the church greatly. We appreciate your giving toward the Lord's work. As you will know, our sister, the late Sister Mary McFadden, commenced some years ago our church library, and we appreciate all that our sister did and her dedication, her interest in that, and involving others in it. If anyone has an interest in being a point of contact for the library going forward, please do speak to me or the clerk of session or Brother James Bennison. We'd be glad to hear from you so that this library can continue into the future. I know Mary would so love that that would be so. Remember all who are sick at this time and going through treatments, and those recovering from illnesses. Your prayers are deeply appreciated by the people themselves and families. The drive-in services again will be held this year. The car park is an outreach, as we have held them the last few years, from the last Lord's Day of June to the last Lord's Day of July. 6 Lord's Day evenings in the car park. God willing, the gospel will be preached in ministry and song, maybe even testimonies. But do pray that God will bless his word again as it goes forth through this means. And there'll be a leaflet drop in the area as well before that, so that we can alert people to what we're doing, as well as advertising, of course, online, as we do as well. Could I just mention our Children's Day and prize giving on Lord's Day, the 19th of June, when our sister Miss Christina Logan, one of our children's workers, will be the speaker on that morning. To do with our Sunday school, they haven't had an outing for a number of years now. In fact, the last 2 years, because of the situation, there's been no outing. But this year's planned again to have an outing on the 11th of June. And, of course, the details are here in the leaflet. But it's particularly concerning the outing, that if pupils or family and friends are wanting to go on that day, Saturday 11th of June, to Garfunnock, then you need to put your name down, child's names, and whether some may prefer to travel by car, others may want to travel by bus. So please get that back as quickly as possible. It's the 11th of June. I know Ballygan being late at these things, but please remember to get it back as quickly as possible. And I trust the boys and girls will be able to have a good day. I believe they've improved that park greatly, and it's an opportunity for the boys and girls and parents as well, those who still think they're children, to enjoy themselves on that occasion. So get that back to either Brother Bill Stewart or Mervyn Barr as quickly as possible, please. And then on the 17th of June, Friday the 17th, there will be, of course, the church clean-up. And that's always an annual thing again. If you can help, if you're able-bodied and able to help and come along that night, then we'd be appreciative of your help. We'd be reminding you about that near the time as well. Just to say that my intention now in these weeks ahead, to visit every family in the congregation, every individual as possible, during these final weeks, and I intend to do that. And so I'll be with you or contacting you at some stage to have some time of fellowship with you in your home. We look forward to that, whether you look forward to it or not. But I trust you will, and be blessed through that time. We're going to just say a word to Kathy and Trevor too, since I was last here. They have another grandchild, this time a grandson, Caleb, and we congratulate them on that, and we're glad Caleb is doing well and out of hospital. Continue to remember the family at this time. We're going to join in the singing of another hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. We'll stand if you're able to sing this hymn. 539 be on the screen before we come to the reading and preaching of God's word.
Thank you.
from the Word of God, from the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments, in the book of Exodus. You could read it, of course, in the Deuteronomy as well, Exodus chapter 20, and reading from the verse number 1. Exodus chapter 20 and the verse number 1. Let us hear the Word of God this morning. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We do meet around the Lord's table at the conclusion of our service this morning, and all are welcome to the table who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Let us bow together in prayer, please. Let us seek the Lord's face this morning and ask the Lord's help as we turn to his precious word at this time. Our gracious God and loving Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy holy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention this morning to the subject, the killing of the unborn. The killing of the unborn. Etched upon the windows of the church as you go up the stairway out there are the Ten Commandments. It's worth stopping there and reading them again and being reminded of God's moral law, the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments. In your Bible, as we have said, you'll find them here in the portion we have read in Exodus 20 and also in Deuteronomy chapter 5. How we all need to read them over in our Bibles again, on the window of the church or somewhere else where they are written down. But may they today and always be written upon our hearts, written with the finger of God. Exodus 31:18. His word written upon our hearts. We live in a day when God's laws are forsaken and his word is trodden underfoot. A day when the word of God is rejected on every side and in every hand. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4, the prophet says of the nation then, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone away backward. Following on in that same chapter, Isaiah 1, verses 5 and 6, he said this, "The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." The land, the nation, had forsaken the law of God. And that is true of our land. And that is true of our nation and many other nations of the world. Legislators have legislated against God's law, and the nation has suffered and will continue to suffer the dreadful consequences. Even church legislators in some instances have chosen the same path in defiance of the law of God. As we look at these first four commandments here in this Decalogue, we see they have to do with our duty toward God. And then the other six have to do with our duty toward our fellow man. And the midst of these is the commandment we have read this morning. In this portion of God's word, in Exodus chapter 20, the sixth commandment, verse 13. "Thou shalt not kill." And this is re-emphasized in the New Testament. In Matthew 19, verse 18, by the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, "Thou shalt do no murder." Now legislators here have in the past legislated for murder and are planning to do so again. This has to do with abortion, the murder of children in the womb, the murder of the unborn. People call it pro-choice, but God's word calls it murder. And I want to stick to what the Bible says this morning. The Bible makes it clear. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not kill. And where there is a departure from the word of God, there are always serious consequences for those who engage in this. There are three things that I want to highlight this morning as we deal with this subject. First of all, the situation regarding abortion. Up until 2019, Northern Ireland had some of the strongest protections for the unborn in the United Kingdom and across Europe. Because pro-life representatives here in Northern Ireland were able to use their veto to prevent harmful abortion laws being brought forward to the Northern Ireland Assembly. Sadly, at a time when there was no devolved institutions here in Northern Ireland, Westminster, in the Parliament there, in a free vote for MPs, imposed the United Kingdom's most liberal abortion regime on Northern Ireland. Despite the Northern Ireland Assembly having previously voted, expressing its opposition, it was railroaded through by MPs and peers at Westminster. This is a deeply divisive issue in our country, as you will know. But over 70% of the respondents to the consultation on these laws opposed the liberalization of abortion here in our country. When the Northern Ireland Assembly was sitting under the last mandate, there was no consensus reached on the commissioning of abortion services. It is incredible that simply because agreement has yet to be found on these highly emotive matters, that the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland takes upon himself to legislate his view upon the people of this country. clearly relying on Westminster to safeguard the rights of the unborn child is not the best way forward. The 1967 Abortion Act made terminations in Great Britain up to 24 weeks in most circumstances, but was never extended to Northern Ireland. For decades in Northern Ireland, abortions were allowed only, first of all, if a woman's life was at risk. Secondly, if there was a risk of permanent and serious damage to her mental or physical health. In March 2020, the British government published details of the new legal framework for abortion services in Northern Ireland to take effect from the 31st of March. It permits terminations in all circumstances in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. And beyond that, in other cases, including no term limit in cases of fetal abnormality, where there is a substantial risk that the fetus would die or, if born, would suffer severe mental or physical impairment. In April 2020, some of Northern Ireland's health trusts began operating interim services for early medical abortions up to the first 10 weeks of pregnancy. And the British government, even to now, continues to provide funding for women in Northern Ireland to travel to England for abortion services. This was continued even through the time of coronavirus. Fast forward now to February 2022, when a High Court judge ruled that the Northern Ireland Secretary of State has legal authority to direct the establishment of abortion services. And so we are brought to our present time, where we have the Westminster Parliament now seeking to fast forward legislation that will liberalise abortion laws in Northern Ireland, resulting in the killing of the unborn. What a sad situation we find ourselves in. And the Parliament of our nation would introduce the most liberal abortion laws in Europe in this country of Northern Ireland. It's a sorry day for our nation and for Northern Ireland. And what a sad and sorry state we are in as wicked men and women seek to devalue human life. The trickle of iniquity has become a steady stream and now an overwhelming flood. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And so, from what we have said this morning, we see the downward spiral as far as legislators are concerned to introduce abortion on demand in Northern Ireland. Of course, let me say this, that there are many legislators in our country, and some in Westminster too, who have consistently stood against this and have voted against it. And we thank God for the such people, for their consistent and courageous stand. The situation with abortion. I want to come secondly this morning to the sin of abortion, because abortion is a sin. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." From after the fall of man, we have had murder in this world. Genesis chapter 4 reveals Cain killing his brother Abel. And since then, killing has stained the centuries of time. There's hardly a day passes, probably even not a day passes, that we don't hear of killing somewhere, whether
somewhere local to us or somewhere internationally. Killing, murder is a transgression of God's holy law. And abortion, my friends, is the killing of the unborn. Therefore, it is a sin. People are quick to condemn the killing of people of all ages, and rightly so. And yet many in society, including many legislators, endorse the killing of the unborn. It simply just doesn't add up. According to the Word of God, the Bible, to which we turn this morning, life begins at the very moment of conception. Let us look at some verses of Scripture. Psalm 139, for example. Psalm 139 and verses 13 to 16. It says this. The psalmist says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." You see, life begins at conception, in the very womb of the mother, as the Bible says here. Turning over to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, we read this. Before, this is the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations." Again, speaking about life in the womb. And then going over to the New Testament, to the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, concerning John the Baptist. And John the Baptist here is in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. And when, of course, when she heard the salutation of Mary to her, the Bible says in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 41, the babe leaped in her womb. Life in the womb. Now the Bible speaks of life in the womb. Yet many public representatives and many in society today seem to view the unborn as just so much waste material to be thrown away at the convenience of a mother. We do understand, of course, there are women who are caught in the most harrowing of circumstances, and we must reach out to such women and such girls. And we do, with love. But we must not take human life. We have no right to do so. Yet so many in this world think they can play God and take the life of a human being, such as is done in abortion. Abortion, I re-emphasize this morning, is murder. It ends human life. And human life is in the domain of the Almighty. The Bible says in Job chapter 1 and verse 21, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name." And of course, the Lord has been pleased in some instances in his plan and purpose to take even a little one away into his presence. That is a life that the Lord has chosen to take away, just as he chooses to take away the lives of adults. young, middle-aged, and old. But it is not for any individual to choose to end a life, as the pro-choice advocates proclaim. Whether it be an abortion, or the taking of the life of a terminally ill person, or a person severely disabled and in a vegetative state, no one has the right, and I repeat this morning, no one has the right to take life. Whether legislators have legislated for it now, or will seek to legislate and maybe will legislate for it in the future, it doesn't make it right in the sight of God. It doesn't make it right. Thou shalt not kill. Some years ago it was said that since abortion on demand was legalized in the United States of America, there had been over 37 million abortions performed in that country. Of course, that was a few years ago, so now it will be a much higher figure, somewhere in the region at that time of 4,300 per day, or one every 20 seconds, was aborted. Dreadful, isn't it? In 2020, abortion numbers for England and Wales were approximately 210,000. That was 2 years ago. And thousands of children have already been killed in Northern Ireland since the liberalising of abortion laws, and many more will be murdered in the days, weeks and months and years to come, as government, this government, our government, rolls out abortion services across Northern Ireland. I say to you this morning, I say to you most solemnly and yet most firmly, when a country refuses to respect and protect the lives of its most helpless citizens, no one is truly safe. No one is truly safe. And so we have the situation with abortion. We have the sin of abortion. But I want to come this morning to the solution to abortion. What is the solution? Well, of course, we want to see the government roll back on the liberalising of abortion laws in Northern Ireland. This moving in over the heads of our local elected assembly, where there is clearly, as we've said, no consensus for such liberalisation to take place. You may have seen recently the United States of America, at least one state where they're seeking to move to repeal laws. In fact, they have moved to the protection of the unborn. Oklahoma signs strictest abortion ban in United States into law. That was the headline. And the governor of Oklahoma, Kevin Stitt, signed the country's strictest ban, making the state the first in the United States to effectively end availability of the procedure. That is to do with abortion. The bill bans abortions from the moment of conception, allows private citizens to sue those who help women terminate their pregnancies. What a brave stand is taken by that state in the United States of America. We commend them for their courage and their convictions. And yet, we also say that it is true that there is a case coming up in the Supreme Court of the United States where this has been challenged. That is, abortion on demand is being challenged. And if that happens, there could be a rowing back in several other states of the laws concerning abortion in the United States. Do pray that the Lord will intervene, because in one of the largest countries of the world, that happened. It had a great and serious impact for good. We need to earnestly pray that legislators in the United Kingdom will act in the same way as those in this state, in the United States of America, to stop the killing
of the unborn. We thank God for those public representatives who campaign fearlessly and forthrightly on this issue. And may the Lord turn the hearts of many, that the little ones in the womb will be protected from this murderous practice of abortion. But above all, my friend, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the solution to abortion. The Bible says, where sin abounded, grace can much more abound. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. And God is able to intervene in the situation, in the hearts of those who promote abortion and seek to provide abortion services. God is able to intervene in the lives of those who would seek abortion, feeling it's only their only option in the midst of their crisis in which they find themselves. The gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, that life-changing gospel, provides the answer to the deepest and most desperate need of the human heart. And those perhaps who at this very moment are at their wits' end corner, hearing all the clamor of voices, your only option is abortion, go and find an abortion clinic. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the voice of God this morning. God loves you. God reaches out in compassion. You can find in him that which you desperately need. Christ is the answer to your every need this morning. To others who have had an abortion and feel the awful guilt of having gone down that particular route, gospel is a wonderful gospel because it provides forgiveness. For all have sinned. And we have all sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is forgiveness with the Lord this morning. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The chapter we mentioned earlier in this message, Isaiah chapter 1, provides a wonderful message. The solution, the great and glorious solution of the gospel. The invitation of chapter 1 of Isaiah, verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Turn to the Lord today. Turn to the Lord now. Experience his wonderful forgiveness. It will be the beginning for you of new life in Christ. You will never be the same again. You will start to live as you've never lived before, knowing that your guilty past is forgiven. May it be so for you now, this morning. Christ is always the solution. Christ always provides the answer to the deepest needs of our heart. May you experience that divine answer this morning. For Christ is the answer to your heart's need. May God speak to us and challenge us. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Returning to the hymn, who is on the Lord's side, who will serve the King, who will be his helpers, other lives to bring. 548, we'll stand and sing. We'll have the benediction, then I'll go to the door, and then we'll have our communion service. If you can, meet downstairs. If not, just stay where you are, and the communion service will take place in a short time.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and always. Amen.